The following is a production of Omnis.tv.
Tonight's show, I welcome our special music guest, David Martinez. I'll also cover this week in the NFL, UFC, Green Day, Kid Rock's new album, and the top movies at the box office, all this and much, much more tonight on Unsigned. Hey everyone, how's it going out there? Welcome to another edition of the Unsigned Show. My name is Ryan, and thanks for hanging out with me. As always, it's Tuesday night. Hopefully everything is all right with you out there. We've got a big show for you tonight. Special music guest Dave Martinez will be stopping in a little bit. You definitely want to stick around for that. And right now, we were talking off air a little bit, and about the NFL again. Something we'll definitely get into. Last week we didn't have a show, so I apologize for not being there for you. Last week, but we had some things we needed to attend to. We tried to get one of the replacement refs from the NFL to come in, but they were busy apparently doing something other than officiating NFL games. But let's jump into it tonight. An interesting story coming out of Naples, Florida. You know, sex on the beach, I guess, is not uncommon in Florida, especially on the beach, a cop said he found Sherman Perry and Jamie Virgo having sex, but they were originally arrested on drug possession when the officer found a bag of marijuana beside them. Virgo denied that it was theirs at the time. The couple allegedly couldn't explain the crack cocaine and pipe that was also found in their belongings. Coincidentally enough, they were not arrested for having sex on the beach. They are arrested for drug possession. So I was interested that the cop was just like, oh, there's someone having sex on the beach. I guess I'll just go ahead and watch. Oh, is that drugs? Oh, you guys are in major trouble now. Those are drugs. Sexual intercourse in public, completely fine and acceptable. Marijuana, crack cocaine, that's going to cost you. Makes sense. Perfect sense. Here's another interesting police blotter story. This comes out of Wisconsin. This one is funny yet also disturbing. A 46-year-old man who was enjoying some curbside sex with a discarded sofa. Reports of an off-duty officer were jogging when he spotted the gentleman, Grenard Streeter, who allegedly was doing the deed with the furniture. Authorities charged Streeter on Thursday with one count of lewd and ludicrous behavior, which carries a maximum of 9 months in prison. Hopefully that couch was microfiber, that stuff is really soft. According to the police report obtained by the Smoking Gun, Officer Ryan Edwards said Streeter was thrusting his pelvic against the cushions and trying to sexually gratify himself by rubbing his penis between two cushions. You know what they say, nothing like more cushion for the pushing. Getting into the music news this evening, Billy Joe Armstrong, lead singer of the band Green Day, last Friday night in Vegas, he noticed that his band's set was being cut short by between 25 to 40 minutes. The vocalist stopped the song that they were in and went on a tirade for about a minute and a half. F this, F that, I'm not effing Justin Bieber, I've been around since 1988, you mother effers, and he went on and on and on. And then at that point, he took his guitar and smashed it all over the stage in pure punk rock fashion. And then the group came out Sunday and said they offered a statement saying they apologize for the remarks and actions of Billy Joe Armstrong, and that he's been entering into a treatment substance abuse clinic for, obviously, that's your standard. Our guy's acting out of control. He's going to rehab, but have no fear, because even though he's going to rehab, he's still going to be able to fulfill his agreement with NBC's music competition, The Voice. So I'm sure we're all really happy to know that, Billy Joe Armstrong is getting his help, but he's still going to be available on The Voice show for NBC. Thank goodness, right? Over the weekend, this actually took place. This was the lineage of Marshall Amps, as well as the founder, Jim Marshall, who celebrated Marshall's 50 Years of Loud, which was held at Wembley Arena in London. 50 Years of Loud showcase a lineup of musicians well known for their electronic acts such as Iron Maiden, Slayer, Motorhead, Judas Priest, Deep Purple, Slipknot, Black Label Society, just to name a few. Joe Satriani was also there to represent Marshall by performing incredible collections of rock masterpieces. Musicians were constantly interchanging in and out. Motorhead's Ace of Spades, Pantera's Mouth of War, alongside with various Black Sabbath and Judas Priest songs, were unleashed in a slew of rock and metal by metal legends. Also, I mentioned Black Sabbath. Today marks the 40th anniversary of the release of Black Sabbath 4. 40 years ago. Unbelievable. I had to actually cue that up today and listen to it. It is probably one of the best metal albums out there still. I mean, even 40 years later, it's a great CD. So 40 years old is Black Sabbath Volume 4. Snowblind's on there. Great stuff. Fans of Kid Rock will be interested to know that the so-called American Badass has a new album coming out titled Rebel Soul. It's slated for a release November 19th. The new album marks Kid Rock's follow-up to his 2010 hit Born Free. He also recorded this in his Detroit area home. A few more tracks have been confirmed for Rebel Soul. In addition to Let's Ride, the disc will include song titles Celebrate and The Mirror, according to various sources. So look for that song to be getting heavy radio play, I would imagine, and also the release November the 19th for you Kid Rock fans out there. Trent Reznor has been a very, very busy man, you know, winning Grammys and such. He actually just announced that How to Destroy Angels, his side project, have announced plans for their latest disc to be released in Omen. The EP is set to be released November the 13th. In addition, the band will be planning a full-length album targeted sometime in spring of 2013, and we can only hope that there's a tour attached to that sometime for fall and winter of 2013 as well. That concludes our opening monologue tonight, but ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, I welcome to the unsigned show this evening, hailing from the great state of Texas, singer, songwriter, David Martinez. David, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm good. That was some good news. I loved it.
Right, cool. Well, I appreciate that, man. Hey, you've been speaking of being busy, man. I know you've been really busy, and we're going to talk about the new album you have coming out here shortly. But what I want to know, and I think what a lot of listeners want to know, is how you got started in music in general. Like, you know, pretty much a solo act for the most part. But how did you really, you know, when you first picked up a guitar, what kind of got you in music?
My dad. He played drums and guitar. I used to watch him in the backyard play stuff like Grand Funk Railroad and Led Zeppelin. And I was like, I want to be like that when I grow up. So, of course, that's what got me into it.
Very cool. Now, what's the first song you learned on guitar?
You know, I was thinking about that because I saw the question. And I know it wasn't Stairway to Heaven. But it was actually, when I thought about it and I realized it was Good Times, Bad Times by Led Zeppelin. That was the first one. Because it was a lot easier than Stairway to Heaven at that point when I first started playing.
Very cool. That's probably one of my favorite Led Zeppelin tracks, too. Now, speaking of, you know, learning that song, I mean, obviously Zeppelin had an influence on you musically. Are there other artists that influenced you, you know, not only just influenced you now today, but really kind of, you know, got you started in music and, you know, hey, oh man, you know, you heard something, you're like, man, I really like that. Or, you know, is there certain artists that really kind of drew you in?
Hey, you got a couple hours?
Sure. Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Well, back then it was like, Kiss, Led Zeppelin, of course, Jimi Hendrix, Doors, stuff like that. A lot of the classic stuff. But then, you know, as a teenager, it was like the band Seattle happened. It was bands like Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Alice in Chains and Soundgarden. And of course, Guns N' Roses played a big part in my musical life too, which is crazy because I was into the hair metal stuff too. But it was like Guns N' Roses was a little different from the hair metal. That, I mean, even though they were kind of considered that, but that those are some of the big bands that caught my eye.
Very cool. Yeah, Guns N' Roses, you know, they kind of got wrapped into that hair metal scene, but they were really so much more than. And doing so much more musically, I think, than some of the other bands, at least at that time. Now, what inspires you currently, you know, as far as what you do musically? I mean, is there certain inspirations or things you look for?
As far as things that happen, or?
Yeah, just, I mean, what inspires you to do what you're doing right now? Yeah.
Oh, I mean, besides artists, I mean, there's some artists that inspire me, but, you know, just, you know, there's things that happen in life, you know, like it could be a love letter to, you know, something like something that you see on TV or just something that, you know, you want to voice out. It just happens, you know, like, for instance, there's a new song on this record called Voices, and I remember writing it. I was sitting up in the mountains, up in Woodland Park, Colorado, and I just came up with, you know, it was a beautiful place, but it was also, you know, it was kind of like, you said, well, I'm searching for something. And then it was like, I just wrote this song about searching, you know, and it was like, and it's stuff like that that just inspires me. And I mean, I can't really explain it too much because it just, a lot of the times it just happens. I don't really plan it, but once it happens, I just get my journal and we just go away full blast.
Right on. No, I completely relate to that. And I think sometimes that's the best way where, you know, you're not overthinking it. It just kind of happens for you. And I think that's probably, you know, a lot of people I don't think do that, you know, musically. So that's why when I first came across you, I was really intrigued. You know, I'm always intrigued by singer-songwriters in general. And, you know, listen to some of your songs, some of the lyrics. And the first song we're in here tonight is Hey Mary. What can you tell me about that track?
You know, the funny thing is I had gone on tour in 2006 and I got to visit Los Angeles and I decided I was going to work with Leroy Miller. And I kind of like, his studio at the time was right there, right in Hollywood Boulevard and the street called Cahuenga. And there was a little Greyhound bus terminal there. And it was crazy. All of these people you would see from all walks of life. And me being as curious as I am, I had a couple of conversations, and then, you know, that's where I came up with the idea, like, hey, Mary ran away today. You know, she took this bus from Alabama all the way to L.A. And I wrote it in my journal, and I never really thought about it. And then the cool thing about this is I co-wrote it with Leroy. I had the full idea. You know, we had it down, but we just, you know, him living out in L.A. for almost 30 years, you know, he gave me kind of a perspective on it. And, you know, we just kind of put this, molded the song together into what could happen, you know. And I don't want to give away too many secrets about it, but if you really listen to it, it's a pretty tragic song.
Very cool. Well, this is Hey Mary from David Martinez, and we'll have more with you and Leroy Miller here in a little bit, but here's a Hey Mary here on Unsigned.
Try to get it back. She tried to make it legit, but could never follow through. Now she's back on the streets, cause it's all she ever knew. When she looks in the mirror, she feels so ashamed. But there's only really one person to blame. All she ever wanted was to be loved. Mary and tragedy fit like a glove. Like Peggy and Whistle back in 32, she spread her wings and like a bird she flew. Hey Mary ran away today. She took a bus from Alabama all the way to LA. She was a small town girl with a big city dream, and nothing else mattered, so it seemed. Hey Mary, there's a price to pay. What you gonna owe on Judgment Day? It's hard to get it back once you throw it all away. Hey Mary ran away today. She took a bus from Alabama all the way to LA. She was a small town girl with a big city dream, and nothing else mattered, so it seemed. Hey Mary, there's a price to pay. What you gonna owe on Judgment Day? It's hard to get it back once you throw it all away.
David Martinez here on Unsigned with the song Hey Mary. And David, really good stuff, man. And you're right. And you listen to that song, and it really does tell a great story. Very nice work. Now, as we know, you have a new album coming out, just around the corner this winter, I believe. And you worked with Leroy Miller. You mentioned a little bit earlier in the segment. Tell me about working with him on this album, and really what that meant for your experience.
I worked with him on the first record, and that in itself was a challenge, because he's very demanding, because the thing is, he cares about the product, and he brings it up. He takes you to a level that, you know, most people, if you're not working with the right person, they won't. And I mean, going in again, it's never easy, and it definitely wasn't easy this time. He pushed me. He pushed the envelope with me. And what I'm really proud about this record is that it stands on its own. The first record, I'm very proud of it, and it has its own sound. But this record, I was able to do things too. It's still me, but it's like he pushed me to expand my horizons, and it was really cool.
Very nice. Now, how did you know? Obviously, you work with him on the previous album. I mean, what the writing process, was there a different approach, or how did he help you evolve into the process from the previous album?
Well, most of the songs on the first record, I wrote them, and I mean, I write every song, and it's basically my idea. But what we did was we basically took a day, like when I first arrived in LA, and we sat down and we listened, and the thing is, a lot of artists are. I'm always open to ideas to make the song better, and what can we do? And we did, we didn't do any major rewrites, but he kind of just threw some in there, and we pretty much wrote this album together after it was all said and done. And it's kind of cool co-writing with him, because he's not intrusive, but he's very helpful in getting you to bring the best out of you. And that's how it's changed. And, I totally dig it.
Very cool. Now, the new album, do you have a release date as of yet?
You know what? I don't, but I am planning something real soon. I know it's going to be in December, and, I do have something planned. Once I find out, you guys will be the first to know.
Wonderful. Yeah, we'd definitely like to have the date, and when we do, we'll definitely give you a plug and props for really working hard and really doing your due diligence and creating good music. And we always support artists in that fashion. We really appreciate it. Now, the new album, sometime in December. Do you have any live shows lined up for the winter and coming into the spring?
Well, I've got some stuff coming up. I'm currently booking some stuff, but I got some stuff here locally in Corpus Christi. I do have a show October 6th in Dallas at this cool venue called The Opening Bell, and they're a really cool venue because they're about the singer songwriters. It's like a listening room, and I haven't played there in almost a couple of years, so it's going to be good to go back. And I plan to get out a lot more in Austin since I've been doing South by Southwest and all that. I have some people helping me out as far as getting me regular gigs around Texas circuit. And then as I don't know if you know, but Lady Lakes planning out a tour for the summer for me to hit the East Coast. So I've always done the West Coast. I've never hit the East Coast. So this will be the only place I played in the East Coast is up in Lake George, New York. So that was it. So that's a plan right now.
Well, cool. I hope that materializes. I know the ladies from Lady Lake, they're a pleasure to work with, and heads up to them for helping you get you on the show tonight. I really appreciate it. Now, what's the biggest challenge for you moving forward? Obviously with the live shows, the new album. I mean, what are your the biggest challenge you see moving forward for yourself?
Just keeping this momentum going, and making sure that. It's always challenging doing music because it's never easy, because the thing is, building an audience has been one of the toughest things that I think that I ever had to do. And I mean, I don't have a huge one right now, but little by little, it's getting up there. And Lady Lake's really helping as far as that goes. I mean, since I've hooked up with them and after South by Southwest, I could tell you my listening audience has expanded tremendously. So I think that's one of the bigger challenges is building an audience.
I completely relate with you there. I think Mike and I, we've talked about this numerous times. It's always a challenge to get new ears on your material. When you do, you reap the rewards, and we're pushing for all artists, and that's why we're doing what we're doing. And again, we really dig what you're doing. Now, here's the new single, I Want to Know, which is coming off the new album, set to release sometime in December. What can you tell me about this new single that you're pushing right now?
Well, this is a song that I wrote a few years back, and it was like, it was actually kind of crazy because we were sitting down with the song, and Leroy was like, wow, this is really cool. He goes, you got the hook right here with I Want to Know. That's your chorus right there. And we wrote the chorus, and it's basically, it's just the same thing asking, I want to know. But, a lot of the cool things have come along, from various people. I mean, we were thinking Elvis Costello and the Cars. And then, of course, Cindy from Lady Lake said Rick Springfield and, Jackson Brown. And it's like, some people even said Bruce Springsteen and the Beatles, because it kind of has that Ticket to Ride sound. And so it's just kind of like all these different elements morphed up into one. So it's basically just a basic question you would ask a girl or whoever whoever you want to know. They really love you. Yeah.
Very cool. I dig the track, man, and I think this really could be your hit, man. I think if you get enough ears on this song, and hopefully you do, this could be the hit. This is I Want to Know by David Martinez here on Unsigned.
Sometimes I walk in the rain when the sky's crying loud. I think of all that good love that has been in my life. And there's nothing sweeter than when it comes having you around. I live each day with your breath. Now you know why I fly. I see all the signs on the wall. I'm the one who always takes the fall. I wanna know, do you really love me? I wanna know, are you thinking of me? Can you live without me? I wanna know what you really want. I can take my time. It's all about the times we've had and everything that falls in between. You know I won't let you go, and I'm willing to put up a fight. And there's nothing that's gonna get in the way of us being together tonight. I see all the signs on the wall. I'm the one. I wanna know, do you really love me?
I Want to Know by David Martinez here on Unsigned. And I'm telling you, man, that song, you get enough ears on that song, and that is going to be a hit, man. I really dig it. And honestly, I hear it, me personally, I hear a lot of Cars influence, Benjamin Orr from the Cars. Obviously, you know, he's been passed some time now, but I hear a lot of Cars in that personally.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of funny when we were listening to the chorus and we were like, it's missing something. And, you know, we got on the piano and he just started going, I mean, he got on the keyboard synthesizer, just started playing. And, you know, he actually jammed with one, I don't know which guy, I think it was the guitarist from the Cars. And he just thought, you know, and he was like, we were like, wah, 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 wah. And so we finally figured it out. We got the sound and it was like, cool.
Very cool, man. Leroy Miller is a class act. I don't know him, but I know of him, and he's been in the music industry for quite some time. So, for him, you know, if you would be working with someone like that, he's obviously pulled, you know, your musical talent, to a new level, and which I really dig. Now, I know you're a Cowboys fan. You're an NFL fan, much as I am. First, before we get into last night's debacle on Monday Night Football, how do you think your Cowboys have? You guys have been up and down again this year. What is it with your Cowboys, man?
Story of our life, man. I mean, I you know, ever since Jerry Jones, I mean, was it Jerry? No, Jimmy Johnson left. I mean, it's just it's kind of been up and down like that for a long time, and you know, I honestly don't know if they'll make the playoffs. I remember that was one of the questions that was asked. I'm hoping they make the playoffs, and I'm hoping they find some kind of consistency, because the first game, they made those plays that they normally wouldn't make to close the game out. You know, instead of running the ball, they threw the ball to get the first down. So they got to get some guts, and that's what it's going to take in order to win. And anything, you have to have the guts to make a call and do it, you know, and not always, you can't always play it safe. I mean,
so yeah, you know, you guys had that great game, you know, opening night for the NFL at Giants Stadium and MetLife Stadium and beat the Super Bowl defending champs. And then the following week, you guys go to Seattle and just lay an egg. And speaking of Seattle, we'll get into the Monday night game. What happened last night in Seattle, coincidentally enough. You were up tweeting, and I was up tweeting during that game, and that was quite possibly the strangest ending to a football game I've ever seen. I mean, just I was almost speechless at first when I saw it. I was like, I cannot believe when the two officials came over and they both looked at one another, then they both made two different calls. I went, oh no, this is a disaster.
Well, you know, number one, my youngest brother's a Green Bay Packer fan, you know, and it's like, he made the most sense today. He said, you know what? My team lost. He goes, but this is not about the Green Bay Packers. He goes, this is about the NFL, the brand that you bring to this, you bring to the table. He goes, you're ruining the brand. And you know what? Steve Young made sense last night when he said, you can't have Division III high school or, you know, whatever experience these guys have out there, officiating a game. The speed of the game is just at another level where football is not even played at, you know. So, you know, you need that experience out there. If not, you're going to just ruin your brand.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you, and I'm going to have a little bit more on that, just that topic alone, a little bit later in the show. But thanks for you know, chiming in. I hope your Cowboys, you guys have a tough game coming up with the Bears this week. So I'll be doing my pigskin picks. So I guess, you know, everyone will have to stick around for see what my pick is going to be on that. But, you know,
so good who's luck your to the team? Cowboys. Who's your team?
Oh, as people who've listened to the show for a long time, I'm a long time Cleveland Browns fan. I'll admit that again on air. And, yeah, we've been, finding a way to lose football games since 1999. And, yeah, so, you know, I mean,
That's okay. Cleveland's one of the originals. So, I mean, I have a lot of respect for the Cleveland Brown organization. It hurt me just as much as it hurt you when they left Cleveland, even though I'm not from Cleveland, because I thought, you know, that was a brand of the NFL right there. And, you know, to take it away it went away for a little while. That really sucked. So,
yeah, 3 years. And, you know, we did a piece on this a couple weeks ago about, you know, Art Modell, the owner of the Browns. He just recently passed away. And the Cleveland Browns, he owned the Browns for almost 40 years. And the Browns were the only team at the family wishes not to honor him opening weekend of the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, he left, you know, a bad taste in his mouth. And that's why everyone's like, oh, Art Modell did all these great things. And he did. He did a lot of great things. But in the same token, you know, he tarnished his legacy at the end for really in a really, really cheap fashion. And that's why even as of today, he's one of the original, one of the only original founding members of the AFL, NFL, and did all these different contracts and player negotiations that is not in the Hall of Fame. I think that'll change now that he's passed. But as of right now, still not in the Football Hall of Fame for that very reason.
Yeah.
Now, swinging back to the music side of things, you know, the new album's, recorded, about ready, to be released here. During, the recording of an album, what do you kind of in your free time? I mean, you're obviously not writing music full time. You like to, play basketball, football. I mean, is there certain activities or things you get into to kind of unwind?
Yeah, well, I do have a regular job. I've been teaching for 12 years now, so it's That's one of the things I do. Another thing is I enjoy doing like boot camp and running, exercising. I enjoy going to watch shows, going to watch other artists play. Just getting out there, hanging out with friends and things like that. So, I mean, that's a lot. I try to keep myself busy all the time. So, got a lot of great friends and, great family. So, we just all bond and have a great time. And, and one thing we do, we have the NFL ticket on Sunday, so we get together on Sundays and watch football all day.
Right on. Now, you mentioned going to live shows. Are there artists out there, whether it be mainstream or independent artists that you really enjoy?
Yeah, there's a huge number of them. Ryan Adams is one of them. Damien Rice, Jack White. I like the Strokes. I can go on. I can go on, but there's a lot of great ones out there. Ray LaMontagne.
Cool. Right on. Yeah, obviously, pretty diverse musically, which I dig. Now, another question for before we get into the website and plugging the album and all that stuff. Now, I ask a lot of people this. They've been coming on the show recently. The music industry has changed a lot in the last 10 to 15 years. And again, I ask almost every artist this question. From where we are to brick and mortar shops to digital world, how do you view the music industry today in this digital world?
Well, I think there's a lot of opportunity out there, but it's also tough too, because there's a lot more people trying to do it. The one thing I think too, also with the digital world, is you get with the good, you get the bad too. So you got a lot of I listen a lot now, and it's there's good and bad to it. And the thing is, that's why I go work with people like Leroy Miller, who push the envelope with me and push me to a level to try to get the best product out there. And it's still challenging. So it's very challenging. But the thing is, you just got to keep going on and on and on. And Cindy and Jen from Lady Lake, and they're absolutely awesome in helping me get out there. So, one thing I tell people is you have to invest money into what you do, And I say, you play a lot of live shows, invest that into what you do. Don't go drink it away and I understand some people make their living doing music. But at the same time, put something aside and go look for those people to record with that know what they're doing. And that way, when you get out there, you'll have a good product and you'll have some good things going. Like I'm working on my website. I'm trying to get everything situated, merchandising and all that going before I release this record. So yeah, the digital world, it's got as good as it's bad. But I think, I think there's a lot of potential out there with the digital world. And, it's just doing it right is the one thing. And then there's, one thing we do, we discover every day there's new innovative things you can do in the digital world as well. And you don't always need a label for that. So it's just... that's how it goes.
Right on. Well said, David. I couldn't have said it better myself. Now, if people are interested in music, which I think they're going to be when they hear this stuff, how can they get a hold of you? Website, music, how can they get a hold of you, man?
Of course, they can get a hold of me on Facebook. I do have my website, David Martinez Music. I'm looking to launch the new website probably in the next week or so. I'm still working on it. It's just there's a lot of little tedious things that go into it. But I'm also, I'm from Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, all things like that. All you got to put – basically, there's a lot of David Martinez's out there. But I'm the main one if you look for if you look for more like the rock, you know, rock stuff.
Very cool. Well, yeah, David, I appreciate you taking the time to stop in tonight, man, and doing the show. We really appreciate it.
Appreciate you having me.
At any time, man. Hey, definitely keep us in the loop as far as when the album comes out. You know, we definitely like to plug you as much as we can, support you as much as we can here on the show. And we close tonight with a song I believe is off your previous album, Sweet Sister. What can you tell us about that?
I wrote that song about my best friend. She was in a car wreck around 12 years ago, and she broke her neck. And she's really been a big inspiration. And she's, you know what, she's quadriplegic, but she just keeps going on. And she's a wonderful woman. And I wrote that song about her. And, you know, also the keys on this is Adam McDougal from the Black Crowes. So it was a very special thing, you know, to get a great group of musicians together and make the song a reality. So that's where that song came from.
Very cool. Well, I'm glad we have this, collaboration and this song to close the show tonight. Again, David, thanks for everything. And thanks for doing the show. And best luck to you, man. We'll be in touch.
Thank you, Ryan.
Hey, no problem. Have a good one, man. Sweet Sister here by David Martinez on Unsigned.
Just a little time, sweet sister, and I know you'll be right here. As the stars and the moon roll, my hope begins to flow. I can't keep away from you anymore, no more. Take me in your arms and feel me. Just gotta let you know. Just a little time, sweet sister, and I know you won't go away. Take me in your heart now. You gotta save my wounded soul.
David Martinez with Sweet Sister here on the Unsigned Show. Again, thanks to David Martinez for stopping in and, you know, talking with us about the new album that's coming out in December and, you know, sharing some of his music with the audience tonight. I really appreciate it. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for NFL Pigskin Pick'em.
False start, start. Offense. Everyone but the center.
You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Congratulations. See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
That's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
They are who they thought they were. And that I mean by that, by talking about the replacement refs, that line fits right in. You know, before we get into the picks and pickups, I want to talk about replacement referees in the NFL. I'll tell you what, we talked about it with the interview with David Martinez earlier in the show. I am sick and tired of this trash. The NFL is a billion-dollar business. Billions. Not millions. Not lots of money. No, no, no. Billion-dollar machine, the most popular sport in America. These last few weeks of games have been awful. I mean, these refs, they don't even know the rules. They don't have time management. They don't have control of the game in general. And there are major issues all along the way. Awful calls. I mean, awful, awful calls, along with not knowing the general rules of the game. Now, I'm sure, you know, regular people are going to make the mistake that regular referees make mistakes too. And you're right, they do. But regular referees don't give out five downs. They don't give out four timeouts and a half. Hell, the 49ers-Viking games this past weekend, the 49ers were allowed to challenge a play without even having a timeout and then won the challenge and got a timeout back. So they ended up getting four timeouts and the second half of a very close ball game. Luckily, it didn't reflect them winning the game for having that extra time to review a play where they shouldn't even be able to review it anyway because they didn't have any timeouts. Again, knowing the rules of the game. And then last night, Monday Night Football, we touched on earlier in the show. In a nutshell, millions of people watched Monday Night Football, Seattle Seahawks taking on the Green Bay Packers in a Hail Mary pass into the end zone that got intercepted by the Green Bay Packers. And then the Seahawks wide receiver ties up the defender as time expires. Two refs come over. One signals for a touchdown. The other signals that time has expired. Well, no kidding, time has expired. It was the last play of the game, and the clock is ticking with 4 seconds when they snap the ball. We know time has expired. The other signals a touchdown. So you have two refs making two different calls on the same play. Then it goes to a booth review, and it was ruled a touchdown, that it would not be overturned because the ruling on the field was rule a touchdown. And there was has to be irrefutable evidence to overturn. It's a mess. You want to talk about the NFL can explain it any way they want to. The fact of the matter is that the Packers got job last night in Seattle, not to mention the erroneous flags on that particular drive that let Seattle get close enough to even throw a Hail Mary pass to begin with. That's not even talking about. Nobody's even talking about that part of it all. So I look at the, you know, the refs, I understand, you know, oh, they're part-time. Look, these guys make good money for part-time work. It's $150,000 a year. These guys make the refs on a billion-dollar machine. You need to protect, would Roger Goodell always say, you need to protect the shield that is the NFL? Well, I'll tell you what, commish, I expect you to hold up your end of the bargain. You're ruining the integrity of the game. Heck, even former NBA ref Tim Donaghy is appalled by this. Get the real refs back on the field. Get them now. Pay them. Get them benefits. Get them on the field immediately before more teams lose games or even worse. You know, this is going to affect the playoff. I mean, what if the Packers miss the playoffs by one game or miss home field by one game? What if Seattle makes the playoffs because of that game? And even worse, you're talking about, what about players getting hurt because these refs are slow to react to certain calls or things that are happening on the field during the game? Forget about time management. What about the safety of the players that the NFL is so concerned about, or so they say they're so concerned about? Enough is enough of the replacement officials. People pay good money. Let's talk about the fans. We haven't talked about that aspect of it all. People such as myself and a lot of people across the world pay very good money to watch either on the internet or TV or DirecTV or go to the games with their families. It is not cheap to go to an NFL football game to get tickets. It is not cheap. You have people working and paying hard earn money to watch a quality product that is the NFL, which they have come to known as the NFL, the Shield, as Roger Goodell would put it, the most popular sport in the USA. Give the people, the players, the public, a professional quality product and give us back Ed Hockley's biceps. What you gonna do when Ed Hockley throws a flag on you, baby? Ooh, yeah. I want Ed Hockley and the refs back. Enough with this replacement ref garbage. I'm sure these guys are good guys, but you know what? Good guys don't always deserve to coach or ref an NFL game. Do I deserve to officiate an NFL game? No, I don't. The speed of the game, it's an elite, elite athletes on that field running at very high speeds, velocity. They need to do something before a ref blows a call or doesn't see something and these guys get hurt. Or someone gets severely injured. And that's what I'm afraid is going to happen next. I hate to, you know, to be negative about it, but it's getting bad. It's costing games at this point. It's only a matter of time until an official loses control of a game. There's a skirmish on the field and somebody gets hurt. That is, I don't know if that's what it's going to take. Maybe that's what it's going to take. And if that's the case, it's sad. The NFL is not going to do anything because the NFL owners hold the power. They are holding this official, the referees, a hostage at this point. It's a lot of people aren't talking about. The NFL owners are just as big a part of this as Roger Goodell. He's taking the brunt, but the NFL owners are right there with Roger Goodell on this referee situation and the replacement officials because they're not losing money. One, the ratings are extremely high because people want to watch the replacement refs screw up. So there's no incentive for the owners because they're not hitting it in the pocketbook and the TV ratings are still high for them to get the real rest back. They could care less about the players. I honestly, at this point, it confirms it to me. But with that being said, let's get into this week's games, huh? Prime time, Thursday night football, my Cleveland Browns taking on the Baltimore Ravens. Well, it's a good thing it's not throwback Jersey night in Baltimore because the Ravens would be wearing the Browns' old uniforms. Now, the Browns are 0-3, and the only team besides them without a win is the New Orleans, the Bounty Saints. No surprise there. Now, the Saints lost their coach, and the Browns have their coach, and they're both 0-3. What does that say? But the Browns are a very, very young team, and the schedule at this point is looking to be very unkind for the Browns. I don't see many future wins for this team. The Browns have the longest losing streak dating back to last season in the NFL. That is 9 in a row. The coaching staff behind Pat Shurmur have done nothing since they've taken over the team. They're 4-15 since Pat Shurmur has taken over as head coach there in Cleveland. I expect the Browns to try to make a game of it, but in the end, the Cleveland Browns are finding ways to lose since 1999. I'm taking the Ravens in that one at home. You have the Patriots versus the Bills. I don't know when the last time the Patriots lost two games in a row is, but for them to lose three in a row, I don't know if that's even happened in the Bill Belichick era that I'm aware of. Again, taking on the Buffalo Bills, who beat the Browns last weekend in Cleveland. The Bills have a lot of injuries on the offensive side, especially at running back. Their offensive line is solid. I expect this to be a very, very close game in Buffalo. I take the Pats in Buffalo with the upset. The 49ers and the Jets. The 49ers got shocked in Minnesota last week after the whole national media and the members were declaring them all the best team in football ever. Look, they're a good team. What have the 49ers won recently? Nothing. They've won nothing, but I do expect them to win against the Jets this week in the Meadowlands. And I also hope somebody hits Tim Tebow so hard the announcers have to go, "Ah, Timmy!" from South Park on the holy Tim Tebow and a stack of Bibles. Seahawks, Rams. Wow. Hey, the Seahawks front four, if you saw them, one thing that was overshadowed in Monday night's debacle was the front four of the Seattle Seahawks. You want to talk about four down linemen getting at it and creating havoc in the backfield. That was the Seattle Seahawks front four. They go to St. Louis to take on Sam Bradford. I tell you what, I expect Seattle to be all over him. Sam Bradford's going to feel like he's back in Oklahoma. I'm taking the Seahawks in a close one just for the simple fact that their rookie quarterback, Russell Wilson, has not put up big numbers as of yet, and I don't expect him to against the Rams defense. The Panthers taking on the Falcons. The Falcons have been better than I thought they would be at this point. I mean, Julio Jones, Roddy White, the best combo wide receiver, the best wide receiver duo, I think, in the NFL, hands down. The Panthers defense is suspect at best. The Falcons are shaping up to be an all-around team, and they're going to make Cam Newton a pocket passer, something he's just not ready to shine in as of yet. So I'm taking the Falcons over the Panthers there. Now, Vikings, Lions. This should be an easy pick, but I'll tell you what. Young quarterback Christian Ponder and Adrian Peterson looks like he's coming into form. I'm going to take the Vikings in a Motor City smash-up over the Lions. Chargers, Chiefs, this is the making of a very, very ugly football game. I'm going to take the Chiefs at home over the Chargers. Titans heading down to Houston to take on the Texans division game. The Titans escaped Nashville last week with a win over the Lions, but gave up 14 points in about the last 40 seconds of that game and had to go to overtime. This Texans defense will give Jake Locker nightmares. I'm taking Texans to stay undefeated in that game. Bengals, Jaguars. The Bengals are, I tell you what, they're a very, very young, fun team to watch. I expect them to get the win in Jacksonville. Raiders, Broncos. I tell you what, as far as the Denver Broncos go, Peyton Manning has been up and down. I think you're going to give him some time. I think the Broncos win this game. I think it's going to be tough, though. It just depends on whether or not the Broncos defense can find a way to stop Darren McFadden. The Raiders go as Darren McFadden goes. But in that case, I'm still taking Peyton Manning, the sheriff, at home over the Raiders. Dolphins taking on the Arizona Cardinals. 3-0 Arizona Cardinals. A lot in part because of their defense. Kevin Kolb has been good, not great, but good. Good enough to win, and I think they'll be good enough to take on rookie quarterback Ryan Tannehill for the Dolphins. The Cardinals go to 4-0 after this week. Redskins taking on the Buccaneers. This game is a toss-up for me. The Bucs, again, a young team learning how to win games, and then you have the Redskins who have major issues on defense, injury-wise, and a very young quarterback in RG3. That being said, I'm taking the Bucs at home in a very close one. Saints, Packers, the only other team without a win, the Cleveland Browns and the New Orleans Saints. Who they, Saints? I'll tell you what, after the Packers lost last night, they're going to be in a foul mood heading back to Lambeau Field, and I think the Saints get roughed up in Green Bay. Giants-Eagles, this is a, I believe, Sunday night primetime game. Giants-Eagles, this is the battle for the NFC East. Let it begin. The Eagles lead the league in turnovers. They're still 2-1. They got roughed up in Arizona. The Giants' secondary is injury-plagued. It's a mess. But quarterback Eli Manning, there's not a quarterback in the NFL that's playing as good as Eli Manning is right now, hands down, taking the Giants in a statement game over their rival Eagles. Bears, Cowboys. The Cowboys are an interesting team. They have serious talent. They never seem to put it all together for whatever reason. The Bears defense will be ready. I'm guessing more interceptions will be thrown than touchdown passes in this game between Tony Romo and Jay Cutler. With that being said, I'm taking the Cowboys at home in a squeaker. And that's been your NFL Pigskin.
Start. Offense. Everyone but the center.
You play to win the game.
Hello? You play to win the game.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Congratulations. See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait. That's why we took the damn field. If you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Newsflash.
UFC 152. John Bone Jones defending his light heavyweight championship against the legend Victor Belfort. Jones gets a third round submission of Belfort via the Kimura lock. His sixth submission win and the most submission wins all time in UFC by a light heavyweight. John Jones is only 25 years old and is getting better. And I'm not sure if anybody can really beat him at this point. He has increased his striking ability. His ground and pounding is tactical. His size, his reach almost every opponent he fights is unbelievable. I expect a very long title run by John Bones Jones. And at some point, maybe he jumps up to the heavyweight division. I think his frame has enough to support the weight, but I think at least wait 2 years or so before he makes that jump. But in that fight, Belfort almost had John Bones Jones in an armbar, and Jones looked like, I'm surprised he didn't tap, looked like his elbow was going to pop. And they interviewed Victor Belfort after the match, and he's like, I felt his elbow pop. I heard it. And John Bones Jones said he wasn't going to tap. He said he's never felt that before, but he wasn't going to tap out. He actually picked Victor up with the arm that was in the armbar and dropped him on his head and found a way out of it and then submitted him 2 rounds later in the third round. It was a heck of a fight by John Bones Jones, and it proved that he is one of the best fighters in UFC, hands down. And he's only 25 years old, and he has a lot of room to grow. Now it's time for our top movies to close the show. The movie Lawless, $2.2 million. Paranorman at $2.3 million. The movie Possession at $2.6 million. The movie The Master, which I'm surprised is not higher on the list, looks like a very great film, $4.3 million. The remake of Judge Dredd, oh, The Dread, $6.2 million. Resident Evil, $6.7 million. Finding Nemo 3D at $9.6 million. Trouble with the Curve at $12.1 million. I don't think Clint Eastwood talks to a chair in that. I could be wrong. House at the End of the Street, horror flick, $12.2 million, and End of Watch, which looks like a very nice film, $13.1 million. That's your top movies here at the box office this past weekend. I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. I also want to thank David Martinez for stopping in, sharing his music with us and talking with us a little bit. Best of luck to him. Hey, seems harder to enjoy the finer things in life. Until next time, do so, everybody.